Good morning. This is a BOA hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-172-23. The appellants are Brittany Godwin and Joshua Graham. Parcel number 1-3508-303-0003-009. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commission. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellants do not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
This is a residential, appears to be a residential appeal. The appellant is not present. I will read from her statement. She says, I have made no improvements on my property since I bought it 3 years ago. My roof needs to be replaced, and so does my HVAC. We didn't even buy the house for $275,000. The house was built in the 1950s or 50s, it says, and needs so much work. It is not worth what the county is assessing or even what I paid for it 3 years ago. The deck in the front is rotting and the floors of the house need to be replaced. And then she says she's getting a divorce and can't afford the taxes. So I'm a little confused on this one because when I look at the front page, it says $275,000 for land. And nothing for buildings, but there's talk of buildings, and so I don't know what's going on.
She just didn't fill it out right.
Oh, is that, you think that's the issue?
She just put it all in land.
She's saying there were no improvements made, so maybe she didn't want to add value for improvements because she made no improvements to it. Not understanding that just means buildings.
Okay. All right. So you guys are saying it's 275, 50,000 for land, 225 for structures. Okay.
If I can find the analysis
statement. It's been updated.
Lynn Village Edition. I'm not quite sure where that's at. I guess you'll show me on your map back here. Oh, okay. These are senior center. Okay. Well, that being the case, I guess we'll hear from the assessor at this point.
Yeah, so the assessor's determination of value is $275,000 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant states that no improvements have been made to the property since the purchase in 2020. The property was purchased for $272,000 that year. The assessor's office can confirm the subject property is valued with a 3-condition rating, which applies depreciation associated with deferred maintenance and obsolescence of a 70-year-old home. Understanding that they've made no improvements, and they're saying that the home has depreciated over time. Will the market outpace any depreciation? From 2020 to 2022, there was over 30% in the median sales price in the Tri-Cities. And so the subject's assessed value is only 1% above the 2020 purchase price. So that 1% ratio indicates that the 2023 assessed value is not an overvaluation of the property. When looking at comparable sales, all of the comparables are of the same size and similar size and same age as the property, and they all sold for $300,000 or more.
Is this a alphabet house of some kind? They're all the same?
No, it's not. It's a 1950s Rambler with basement.
Yeah, the alphabets were all built in the 40s, I think.
Okay.
And it's not... And it's not part of the 1,000 ranch houses that are on the outskirts. Okay. Can you maybe explain at what condition of a home does it drop from 3 to 2?
It's where it's below average for age. So it's something where there is just extensive deferred maintenance associated with it. That require lots of, you know, improvements made to it. It's the kind of maintenance that would accelerate the depreciation for it based off of, you know, at a higher accelerated rate versus a typical rate for a 70-year-old home. I will note that this home has actually had some extensive interior updates made to it. Are you sharing?
Yeah, I'm sharing my screen.
So Chris is sharing the interior photos from the 2020 listing of the subject. And there's been so while yes, the HVAC needs to be replaced and the roof needs to be replaced, the interior has had some extensive remodeling done. So it's not, if anything, it's on the high end of a 3 condition. I would even argue it could be potentially a 4 condition based off of the extensive interior updates made. But it is currently valued at a 3 condition rating, as if, you know, majority of those, you know, there is the typical deferred maintenance and obsolescence with it.
Do you know what kind of floor? Are those laminate floors or are they wood floors? Do we know what they are?
Wood, right there in the living room. And she mentioned the floors need to be replaced.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand looking at these pictures. That doesn't...
Yeah, those are the... looks like the original.
We can see if the listing has any more information, but...
Yeah, I mean, back in that days, they were using a lot of random length oak on floors.
It does say it's laminate, so maybe it could very well be replaced. But, you know, what are we looking at from there? Obviously, the outside of the home was painted, and it was in good condition. The inside has been well maintained. The cabinetry may or may not be the original cabinetry, but those are obviously newer countertops. So it's well maintained, and you know that fits the condition of 3. Well maintained with some items of deferred maintenance. If we were in here and we were seeing that maybe those floors were the original wood and they were kind of scuffed up, or you know they needed to be refinished, and it was the original cabinetry, and maybe the walls didn't have the fresh coat of paint on them, that in combination with some other things on the outside of the home might warrant bumping it down to a 2 at that point.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the kitchen, you know, looks fairly small. I mean, it's not a very large house, is it? What is it like? How many square feet in the house?
Yeah, each level, the living area is 768 square feet, and the basement, 768 square feet, as are the subjects, too, are small as well.
Well, that was typical back in those days. So
yeah.
It's actually a pretty big kitchen for 768 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the wide angle lens,
too. Yeah, that could help zoom out.
Okay. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
No, I'm good with it.
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Maricela or Mary Lou, whoever, which one? I guess Mary Lou is doing it. Let's go ahead and close the hearing then, and we'll deliberate.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E175-23. The appellants are Wade and Amy Wilcox, parcel number 1-3598-303-0000-012. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. Clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Yes.
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yep. I do.
Yes.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Yes, this is a residential petition. We usually allow about a half hour for these. The first 10 minutes we will give to the appellant to present his arguments. We'll give about 10 minutes to the assessor to hear their positions. We'll have a few minutes of back and forth interspersed, and then we will excuse everyone and we'll deliberate. So with that, Mr. Wilcox, you may proceed.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So the property assessment this year, as you guys probably have it in front of you, made a substantial leap versus most of the previous decade or so of assessments. And indeed, the previous decade of assessments, I've had information in terms of occasional offers on the property, which put those assessments approximately in line with the market. I'm still receiving offers from time to time, unsolicited, as the assessor's assessment does note that I have not actively marketed the property, but I do receive unsolicited offers from time to time on the property. And those have been increasing over the years, but only slightly. And then this last year, the jump is not aligned with the market as we've experienced it from that. I had reported two offers recently when I put in for the petition on this at 80 and 112K were those offers. I have more recently received an offer of 130. K for the property, another unsolicited offer. So our assessment is that is closer to the true market value. It's been consistent for the last decade with the property assessments and has been consistent while slightly increasing. The approximately 79% increase in the last assessment cycle just does not seem to fit either the market or the valuations that we've been receiving. And I will note, while I'm impressed with the assessor's petition package that they put together, thank you, that was actually quite useful. There is a particular comment in here regarding these specific offers that I've received. I'll just quote from from the cover sheet paper, the third paragraph down that starts, the appellant states that they have received two recent offers of $80,000 and $112,000. The written offers provided by the appellant do not qualify as market value. So that the sentence I want to parse apart after that is what follows that. And that is, the subject property was not listed on the market to give it reasonable exposure to a competitive market. It's true that it was not listed. As far as exposure to competitive market, the properties are always exposed. So it's not an entirely salient argument that there's no exposure to a competitive market. And then the next particular line, the appellant was not willing or motivated to sell. It's not possible for the assessor to assess my willingness to sell, mine and my wife's willingness. And we've had a lot of heartfelt conversations on this property and another piece of property. Under the right conditions, we are willing to sell. So there is willingness. Now, the degree of willingness, I will grant that we are looking at this as a retirement property and another property in Franklin County as a retirement property. So there's some hesitance on those two properties because we're undecided about which one will be our final retirement property, but we are willing to sell one, or motivated to sell. And WAC 458-07-030 does not make motivation a criteria. It actually kind of inverts that and actually says that we have to not be obligated, and we are not obligated to sell. So if I was obligated or motivated to sell, then I would probably be actually pursuing these lower values, but I'm not obligated to. So I would like to hold out for a higher market value, but we've not received an offer at a higher value. So to that extent, while I don't deny that the assessor has chosen other adjacent properties that have assessed values for the land, which are high, two items on that. One, I'm going to note that it's difficult to parse out the land from the physical structures on those properties in terms of the separation of the values there. And two, even with those assessments, I don't think that it is fair or correct to exclude the other lower offers that I've received on a regular basis for the property from consideration. So it is likely true that there is a market value somewhere in between those. So, and I'm willing to accept that there's a market value in between, but the stepwise change of 79% in the assessed value over the last year just does not seem to fit the true situation. So with that, I'll leave it back to the board. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question or two here. So could you describe a little bit about the nature of the property? Is it in a developed area? Is it undeveloped? What can you tell us about it?
It is on the edge of the property which Milo Bowder developed in the I think it was late 90s to mostly middle 2000s, that is up at the end of Gage Boulevard, where Gage Boulevard turns around into Morenci, and then Morenci works up to the top of Little Badger. There's a little spur street called Mont Blanc, which has a handful of homes on the very steep northern side of the hill. This particular lot has a small flat section that's nominally about 40 feet wide by about 150 feet long at the very base of it. And then it's got the better part of an acre above that's on very steep hill. If I am ever able to afford to build up there, I would like to try and build up a little bit onto that, but the earth moving work will probably be far outside of any budget that I have the ability to sustain.
So I mean, is that considered a view lot with that elevation?
Yeah, the lots would not have substantial value if it weren't for the view. It's got utilities run to it, which I've tried to locate. They're challenging to locate. I think I know where two of the utilities are. The sprayed lines on the others indicate that they're supposed to be there, but I've in my digging around, I've not been able to get down to them yet. So there is utilities. There is a small flat at which like a daylight basement facility might be able to be built on it. But you know, the step back, which is I think 15 feet for the county, you know, reduces that flat quite a bit. So we're gonna have to dig in no matter what. Someone will have to dig into the hill, whether it's us or someone else. We'll have to dig into the hill a bit to put any sort of a building structure, a residential structure on it, unless they're gonna make it a single wide trailer. So sometimes I think maybe that's the way to go for retirement. Anyway, but it does have a nice view. The lower flat that I've mentioned, that has an elevation of roughly about 850 feet. So it is pretty good elevation. Then the property itself, going to the south up the hill, it's kind of pentagonal shaped. Up at the top, it's right about 950 feet on about a 280-foot plan view. So there's call it 300 feet of depth, and then 100 feet of rise. So there's about a 1-3 slope on the whole rest of that. And of course, I mentioned there's the 40 foot or so setback. So it's actually a little bit steeper than 1-3 going up that. So it'll be pretty challenging to do the excavation work to put anything up there.
I'm looking at the picture provided by the assessor's office. It's kind of the thumbnail. And so I see a rise to the left, or excuse me, to the right. So this must not be a...
That is correct. That is the flat on it. I think can I bring up a better picture to show you guys. Given some time, I could probably pull up some pictures. Yeah, to the right in that image, to the right, that flat is the roughly 40 foot wide by from there about 160 feet long, 150, 160 feet long into the picture is the rectangular flat section. And then right. To the right, it goes up the hill. That flat is at about 850 feet.
Okay. All right. I think that's... So you'd probably have to put a big, pretty big retaining wall in the back too after you dug out for your house. So
there will not be much of a backyard. There's that. I've put a lot of thought into how we'll finagle that. The other property that we actually haven't procured yet, but we've been looking at and talked with the owner in Franklin County, has a much gentler slope, about 10 feet of elevation over the course of about 300 feet. So we've talked a lot about having the facility to put in pool and space there, whereas this property is probably not going to be able to do something like that. The retaining wall would have to be substantial.
Okay, at this point I'd like to hear from the assessor's office.
Yes, so the assessor's determination of value is $195,300 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant's written offers do not qualify as market value, as the property was not listed on the market and there was no sale. Both offers came from out-of-state companies that offered to purchase the land for cash while also paying for the closing costs, with the agreement that they can turn around then and resell the property on the market. These purchase agreements, they lend to below market offers, so they are not considered arm's length transactions, as the property is not exposed to a competitive market. The subject property was purchased in 2011 for $110,000, and these offers came in near or roughly 3% below the purchase price from 12 years ago. Looking at the comparable sales, due to the limited amount of bare land sales, we expanded the comparable search to include 2020 land sales. And you'll see that comps 1 and through four. These are also view lots with steep slopes, and they're in the subject's immediate area. While comp number five is located about 3/4 of a mile south, and that has no view. And that was included as a second acreage sale to bracket the subject's size. For comp one, that's the most comparable in size, and that sold for $250,000 in 2022. Comps two through four, they're less than an acre, and they illustrate that market change from 2020 to 2022, where the price, the sales price has increased.
So am I hearing that comps one and two are the best indications of value?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And okay, now what's this? You have a footnote here. What is this?
So comp one is actually the sale of two adjacent parcels. So they are a combined 1.12 acres and they sold for $250,000 combined as a single transaction. So
that's comparable to the appellant size. Okay.
Yeah, so it's most comparable to the appellants.
Could I ask you to bring the picture of the property up so we can see it a little clearer?
Okay. You wanted the subject or the comp, Peter?
Subject.
Okay.
All right. And while you're bringing that up, let me ask a question. The big difference between two and three, there's quite a price difference, except they're same size parcels. Is it just the age?
Yes. Look at the dates of sale.
Yes, comp three is a 2020 sale, and that's where I was saying how it illustrates that strong growth in the market prices and during that time period.
Okay.
So this is the subject that's up on my screen that I'm sharing.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty good lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the Columbia? I assume that's the Columbia River we just barely see out in the distance.
To the north, yeah, you can see the Columbia River.
Yeah. So definitely a view lot.
Yes.
So is that just in this picture? Is that a house just to at the top of the picture?
Yes. Yeah.
Another
house. Yes. That is my hopefully future neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah. The dense.
Oh, I can see. Okay, so yeah, you have a driveway in, and so the flat on this picture, the flat is where?
The flat is the north east edge. It's kind of at an angle there. So the
is that kind of brownish color.
Yeah, the asphalt comes down past Mike and Kate Denslow's driveway. Which we actually had to give an easement for them to put that in because of the property access. The Mont Blanc Way is actually a private drive. There's an attached easement agreement amongst all of the property holders that are adjacent to that for access use. Coming down that asphalt spur, though, it comes down about 10 or 12 foot elevation from Mont Blanc. It comes down about 10 or 12 foot elevation and then onto that flat, the kind of brown dry grass area, dry brush area.
That looks to me like something has been worked there before. I mean, some of that flat has been, I mean, there's no sagebrush or any brush on it. Has some work been done on that flat area?
Yeah, the property developer, Milo Bowder, for this particular lot, most of that flat is actually backfill that he brought in. So it's gravel rock backfill with kind of a clay-like soil. And you can see to the northeast, there's a very steep slope. That slope, for a ways going down where the rubble is backfilled, that's about 38 to 40 degrees slope, almost 100% rise run slope. And then on the south side of that flat, the southwest side of that flat, where the shadows are, you can see that he's actually, when he built that flat, he actually cut into the hill a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's some repose material on the other side. So he filled out some of the hill and he cut in some of the hill to create that flat.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chris, that lot that's showing to the, go back down, that lot to the left of, in that picture, that is not sold. Is that correct?
No, and let me see if we have any information on that.
That's Mike and Kate Denslow's lot. They bought, I believe, just after we did, so somewhere in that era, and they started construction of their home shortly after they bought. So they've been there on the order of a decade now.
And according to this information that we have on record, it looks like they bought the land in 2008 for $110,000.
Oh, okay, earlier.
You can see, like, they don't have a backyard.
Yeah, no, they're so the same way that we've got steep slope on the upside, they've got very steep slope on the downside, leading to that cul-de-sac to the north of them.
Oh, okay.
The front yard. So,
okay. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
I don't have a question, but I'll offer a benchmark to Mr. Wilcox. I'm just a volunteer on the Board of Equalization, so thinking like yourself, and I had a very similar situation to yours, where I had a lot. I was getting offers from all over the nation. It was a view lot. The bids that I got were like yours, low ball bids, just fishing, and I ended up, about the same, almost identical to the same size as yours. I ended up selling it for $197,000. So, the difference between the offers I got and what the real fair market value was quite significant. Just as a benchmark, doesn't mean it's exactly like yours, but just share.
I'm not fooling myself that it's only worth 110K anymore. I'm not fooling myself on that.
Okay.
The 79% assessment change in 1 year is a bit of a shock. I don't think that's quite right. I don't think that maybe at a peak market, maybe this would get something. I don't know that that's the case even today anymore. So, and I don't think 195.3 is truly justifiable for that particular lot right now. I would be willing to entertain without little fight something in between those, but because 195.3 seems a bit much, I've asked for the hearing.
Right, but as you hope you understand, it's your obligation to bring to us evidence that supports your valuation.
Yeah.
And
you guys are saying you do not consider the evidence I brought as bona fide offers that
represent. No, we understand the nature of I consider them bona fide offers, but as Peter just said, those are low ball offers from across the country. Somebody just, fishing and hoping to catch something that they can resell higher. So
I do agree that they are probably low ball offers, and they probably represent the low end of the market.
And offers aren't sales, and sales are what make the market. I've shared my screen again. This is that comp one.
Yes.
So this parcel and then that parcel to the immediate right of it, that is what sold in 2022 for $250,000, and is 1,800 feet away from the subject.
Now, does that have a elevation issue like the subject property?
Yes, all the comparables have steep slopes, except for Comp 5, which is down in Riata. That one has no view. It's just a slightly sloped lot. Comps 1 through 4, they are sloped, yes. And they'll have the same
issue. Right. Okay.
That's not an offer. That's a sale.
Right. Understand.
I understand. I'm good.
Chuck, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Anything further, Mr. Wilcox?
No, I just appreciate the board's time hearing me put forth my petition. So thank you very much for listening to me.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And if we excuse.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. This hearing is for petition E-155-23. The appellant is Tyler Huckill, parcel number 1-0898-202-0045-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with the other federal and, consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all communication provided to the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We allow about a half hour for this hearing. For the first 10 minutes, we'd like to hear from the appellant on his evidence. We'd then like to hear from the assessor's office. We'll have a few minutes of questions back and forth. And then we'll excuse everyone and we will deliberate. So with that, Mr. Huckel, you may proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Assessor Board, I stand before you deeply troubled by the proposed tax increase in property taxes, particularly in light of the methodology used to assess my property. While I understand the need for revenue, to fund essential services, I urge you to reconsider the magnitude of this increase and the comparables used in the assessment. It has come to my attention that the comparative properties used for assessment are from distances exceeding 3 miles, with one light outlier located staggering 7 miles away. This raises serious concern about the accuracy and relevancy of the data used to determine property value. Using such distance comparables may not accurately reflect the unique qualities and market conditions of our own properties. Furthermore, including a property that is 7 miles away as a comparable is simply not reasonable. Properties located far apart may be entirely different communities with their own distinct economic and social context. As such, they cannot provide a fair basis for assessing properties. A more balanced approach acknowledges the need for funding while also recognizing the financial realities faced by homeowners. An increase of $150,000 places an undue burden on hardworking families like mine, especially when a more moderate adjustment of $75,000 would still provide much needed revenue for our community without causing undue hardship. In conclusion, I urge the assessor board to reconsider its approach and ensure that assessments are based on comparables located within a reasonable distance, preferably within 3 miles of the subject property. This would provide a more accurate reflection of local market conditions and ensure that property values are assessed fairly and equitably. Thank you.
Okay.
And so.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to point out that in the comparables that were sent, again, one of them was almost 8 miles away. And the acreage that is used is significantly more than my current property, than my own property. And same with, and then another one is over 3 miles away. And again, I'm not arguing the fact that property values haven't gone up, and there's a need for revenue. I completely agree and I understand that. However, going up $150,000 in 1 year jump, and especially in a time now when, you know, the appraisers in their own argument or in their own letter to me say they use home sales from 2021. You know, there's a house that's sitting 752 feet away from me that sold for 685 in April of 2022. And, you know,
but you didn't bring that house. You did not give us the information on that house.
The house is located in the comparable on number 4 in the assessor, in the appraiser's own comparable.
Okay.
That house is 750 and it's been sitting on the market now for more than 250 days.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're saying. So it was sold in April of 22, and you're saying it's they're trying to resell it again?
I'm saying that, yes, they are trying to resell it now, but my point is that the appraiser is using 2022 data as their main crux for the increase in property tax. However, when considering the house that's sold 750 feet away from my house in 2022 is listed at six. It was sold for 685. I mean, that's the biggest and best comparison right there.
Right. But
it's got similar acres, similar square footage, and it's been, and so anyway.
Except yeah, that it's 20 years older than your house.
Correct. But also that one of the homes that was used in and by the assessor is also 8 years older than mine. So I guess at what point do you draw the line of it's been too old versus it's not too old, especially if home's been renovated?
They adjust for age. I guess I'm jumping ahead. I'll leave that be.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying they adjust for age, but however, if the house is completely remodeled on the inside, then is it just a structure that's, you know, 20 years old when everything on the inside is new? I mean, it's not even the same, you know, just because the walls are 20 years older doesn't mean the inside is 20 years older.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll let them address that. I jumped ahead.
If I can jump to mine, I'm confused. So you mentioned the comparison to comp number 4, which sold for $827,000 in 2022. Oh. Where does
this? No, that was adjusted price.
Oh, I see. It sold for $685,000 and then adjusted up to $827,000. Okay, I understand. All right, thank you.
All right, so the adjustment was, you know, almost $150,000 from 2022 to January. I mean, that, anyway. Of 2023. So anyway, I don't know how much time I've used, but.
Well, yeah, we'll let them explain the adjustments to them.
Okay, well, let me just, while we still have him on the, where did you get your number of 725 on the page, on the front? We only got the front of the form. Where did you get your numbers?
Which form are you referring to, sir?
Your appeal form.
The petition.
Oh, petition. And you've got a nice round number, 725 total, but I see no background for where that came from.
Yeah, I had it recently appraised for when I refinanced it, and yeah, I couldn't find the actual thing. I was just trying to put out a number that's more reasonable, you know, because it went from, you know, you're saying 839, I'm saying 725. I'm saying the number somewhere in between those two numbers.
Right. But you haven't what evidence are you given? It's your responsibility to provide us evidence to support your valuation.
My evidence is comparative number four, then. That's my evidence.
Okay, but the adjusted sale price on number four is $827,220.
But it hasn't sold for that. It's sold.
It did sell for that in 2022.
No, it didn't. It sold for $685 in 2022.
Right, but to make it comparable with your property in terms of lot size, age of structure, garage size, outbuildings, they make adjustments to make it comparable to your property.
It's the exact same acreage as my own. And so even then they're using other ones that are like this one they're using that's 7 miles away. I mean, how can you?
I am a little troubled by the one that's 7 miles away and the one that's 3 miles away. And we'll ask the assessor to explain that. Okay.
So, all right.
That's a good point to save a little time later. While could you, assessor, drop those two far away ones? Numbers two and six?
Three.
No, I'm sorry.
Three.
Yeah, two and three, and give us your new grid estimate.
Actually, ahead of you. Here it is.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay, so 90. That's okay. Wait a minute. So you took.
So I took the one that was 3 miles away and the one that was 7 miles away, roughly. Okay, out of there. So, scroll this down.
Okay. So that, instead of six, we have four now. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. And the new. So if we say X this and X that, and the new grid estimate was what? Can you scroll back up again?
No, that's the median. So just keep that median. In mind.
Yeah.
Here we go.
904,200. So it didn't really help at all. Well, it helped a little bit, I guess.
$70,000 roughly.
But it's still above your assessed value.
So. Okay, so why did we use comps 2 and 3 with them being 3.24 and 7.85 miles away? And that's because we're bracketing the features of the home. And the homes that sold are the homes that sold. We're at the mercy of what homes have sold for and what are available. But in doing our due diligence, we wanted to provide comparable sales that, in the instance of comp 2, it's bigger than the subject. So that's a comparable sale, the closest, most comparable one that brackets the size of the subject. That's why it's included in there.
Additionally, the nature of the neighborhood, those lots around there are 2.5 acres. So with the lack of rambler with basement sales on acreage in that area, and with the distance of the homes from one another, we expanded that to include within the vicinity of up to 10 miles away from the subject.
We would too, but what sold is what sold, and that's what we have
right,
to use.
Right.
That's what was available and what was most comparable.
And bracket the details.
Into bracket.
But that,
that's the data we had available to us. But as you see, the subject's assessed value is not, as high as those. There are those accounts, those land values are different. For instance, for comp 3, that's a different, subdivision. That difference is accounted for in that land value adjustment.
Okay.
So what I would suggest, Jennifer, to also describe the January 1st, 23 cutoff for valuation.
Oh, yes. Okay. So the assessed value of $839,800 has an effective date of January 1st, 2023. So any market conditions or any sales after that effective date, those are not used in establishing the 2023 assessed values. So for this 2023 assessed value, we looked at sales prior to that date. So we relied heavily on the 2022 sales. In 2023, when we sent out these change of value notices, 2023 wasn't over yet. We were still in the process of gathering all the sales data from January to December of that year to get the full picture and to do the annual analysis. And so those 2023 sales will be used for this year for the 2024 assessed value. We operate, when it comes to mass appraisals, we operate behind the market, a year behind the market. So the 2023 assessed value is based off of 2022 sales.
Yeah. Jennifer, could you describe to the appellant the nature of the adjustments you make and how you keep them consistent from property to property?
So the adjustments on the grid or just the market adjustments in general when we're doing our statistical analysis?
Yeah, just, well, in general for right now, then we'll maybe need to get more specific.
Yeah, so we look at, we assess according to mass appraisal standards, which we look at neighborhoods as a whole. So while Comp 3 is not in your neighborhood, I used it here to bracket the subject, but it was not included in the statistical analysis to apply the market adjustment to your home. So each property record is constructed with the land, and we add the land value plus the cost of the improvements, which is the structures. So the land value plus the structures, that gives you like a base value of cost for the property. Then what we do on a neighborhood level is we look at all the sales in that area and we look at, okay, this is where we're coming in with our costs, but where are these homes selling in the market over the past year? And so we follow that market. If the market increases, we know, okay, we need to apply a market adjustment to all homes, similar style homes. They'll receive the same market adjustment to trend with the market, whether the market goes up or if it goes down. We analyze that on an annual basis, and we apply that same market adjustment to everyone to ensure equity. And then when it comes to, you know, looking at, okay, what is the, you know, with that statistical analysis, the probable range, are these falling in line with what you would expect for the market? That's where we drilled in to show this comparable grid on, you know, to get a more fine-tuned look at your specific property, its specific characteristics, and just to ensure that the assessed value is falling within that probable range.
Mr. Huckel, could I ask a question? Since we didn't get a page 2 of your petition, when did you purchase your home and at what value?
Purchased my home in March 8th of 2019 at $512,500.
2019? Okay.
Yes, sir. 2019.
Okay.
I have a question about that sale. You purchased it for $512,500 in 2019. When we look at the historical records of the property, the builder purchased the land for about $138,000 or around there. And then they had a permit to build the home. And the value on the permit for the home itself was $500,000. So, and the sale, when you purchased the home, from what I could see, it wasn't exposed to the market. It wasn't listed on the market. So you went to the builder and purchased the home. Did you purchase it at cost or did you pay
value? How did we, your question is, how did we get our home? Like, is that your question?
Yeah, because the permit alone for the building itself was $500, yet you paid $500 for the land and the home. And it wasn't listed on the market, right? So I didn't know if you knew the owner, if you knew the builder, and how did that work with the transaction?
So we were moved from Salt Lake to Spokane, and then we were moved from Spokane to here. My wife just called and got in contact with the real estate agent who worked for the builder, who worked with the builder, and how we bought it. I mean, I guess I don't know how to answer your question other than we just gave him our design that we wanted to build the home, and he built it.
Okay.
So it was built to your standards. I mean, it was built to your standards then. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah. I mean, it was a custom build home. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just didn't know if you knew the builder personally or had the connections, because it just seemed like it was like a cost.
No, I didn't know him before.
Not a cost purchase, just because of all that information, but I wasn't sure.
No, we're not. I had no idea who the builder was until. Okay.
All right, thank you for clarifying that.
But, you know, I guess the biggest thing, you know, you keep referencing 2022 sales. Again, that property that's on the same road as mine sold for $685 in April of 2022. And then you're saying that the home increased, you know, almost $150,000 in 8 months. That doesn't.
What they're saying is when they adjust the value of that sale to make it comparable to your property, it rises that $150,000 you're citing.
But I guess
most of that's because of the age of the property. It was a 1997 property or structure.
But again, so you only look at the actual walls on the outside, not what's inside. Is that what I'm understanding?
Right. Well, if we have the information available on the interior updates, we do account for that. When you look at the listing for that property, comp floor, they had very minimal updates. I mean, they painted the walls, they painted the cabinets, they had new flooring and some tile backsplashes, but other than that, it was all pretty much original. So, you know, it's not an above beyond updating that was done to that. We would consider that, you know, it's been maintained, it was cleaned up, but it's as a 1997 home, we did account for that adjustment, the difference versus your home that was built in 2019.
I don't know. When did the last time you look at the comparable? I mean, it made significant adjustments to it in that time, like between April when it sold. I mean, it's. So the fact that it's still sitting there, that's the question. You're saying that's the most comparable one. You're just saying that the walls on the outside are the only thing that keep it at that value. Correct?
No.
That's not what they're saying.
Even the home comp five, which is a mile away, 780, was sold for 780 in April. Again, these are all numbers that are significantly lower, and by taking out comp two and three, which are more than 3 miles and 7 miles away, it lowered the grid by almost $70,000.
I mean, lowered the median, but comp five is even older than comp four.
When you the difference in the size and the age for comp four and five, so yes, they sold for 685 and 780. But if you account for the fact that your home is much newer and slightly larger in terms of like the basement, you have about 1,000 square feet more in your basement. When you account for those differences, it would be expected that your property would be valued higher than what they sold for. And then these adjusted prices are where that would be expected to land.
And I'm not arguing that my house isn't worth more or newer. But you guys using comps that are more than 3 miles away and almost 8 miles away is ridiculous.
We've already excluded those.
I understand. They excluded. Yeah, right. They excluded it, and it dropped the median by $70,000. So,
that's, right. But the median, even with that new median, it is still above the
your
assessed value of your property.
Yeah. Okay, if we look at that revised grid, right, the median is 904. The min and max on that grid, it begins at 788,000 all the way up to 990,000. That's the min and max, with the median being 904. That max is higher than the max that I had originally. So, but again, this isn't how we value your property. This is just to ensure that the assessed value on the statistical analysis that we did for the neighborhood as a whole just is another check, another look to see that that valuation is falling in line with the expected range when we drill down into your specific house type.
So what we look for as a board is when the assessor provides us evidence, you provide us no evidence. When the assessor provides us evidence, we look to see, does the assessed value of the property fall within a range of comparable sales that existed as close as possible to the assessment date? And so what we're seeing is now we've excluded comps 2 and 3. We have a new median at 904,200, and your assessed value is 839,800. So, you know, you're quite a ways below the median of the revised grid estimate median.
Yeah, I mean, we can argue all day about these adjusted sales prices and your guys' analysis. I mean, it's, you guys do this full time, like this is your jobs, right? I mean,
no, we do this part time.
Well, the assessors.
Yeah, the assessors do.
The assessors do this full time and look at these, and they can argue these numbers all day long. You know, this isn't what I do full time. This isn't what I do even part time. I'm saying that raising it $150,000 in 1 year is ridiculous. So anyway, that's all I've got.
Well, 2022 was an exceptional year in the Tri-Cities housing market. So, I mean, you are not alone in your concern over some of the amounts that we're seeing properties raised. All three of us had our properties go up substantially in 2022 as well. So,
mean in 2024, they're going to drop significantly considering the fact that the interest rate is as high as it is and sales haven't happened like the assessors stated.
Well,
it probably comes down to
they don't ever come down.
We haven't completed our analysis of 2023 yet.
Yeah. And the one thing I would just add as a volunteer on the board is that the assessor's office consistently applies those adjustments. So everybody's on a level playing field from my perspective in that consistent application.
And Mr. Heckle, I understand it's shocking to see from 2022, your assessed value was $674,850, and it jumped to $839,800. That increase in value, we're not saying that the market increased in a single year that much. It was because your 2022 assessed value was already undervalued, because a home that's, you know, what, 16 years old, older, more than that, 20 some years older, sold for 685 and you were assessed below that. So we were just trying to bring everybody up to that market value, and that's the increase that was required to do so.
Yeah, some houses were seen were impacted far more than other houses. So especially houses in nicer neighborhoods, newer houses in nicer neighborhoods with more amenities tend to increase faster than older houses and older neighborhoods with fewer amenities. So it's just, you know, it's, you know, the more desirable the house, the more, you know, the higher the market value went up.
I understand that. Again, I just didn't like it going up, and I'm not arguing that it shouldn't go up. That's not my point. It should. I guess going from, I guess my argument is that I'm wanting to go from 150 up 150 to 75,000, and that's all I'm asking. So anyway, that's all I've got.
Okay. Assessors, anything further?
No additional comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter, Chuck, any questions?
For me?
No.
Okay. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing and we will deliberate.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, Wednesday, April 17, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-185-23. The appellants are Franklin and Dana Baltersack, parcel number 1-12-89-312-0001-020. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellants do not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all the documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, we have a residential petition. The appellant is not present, so I will read from the petition, then we'll hear from the assessor. Zillow lists my house for $382,100 with a price range of $352,000 to $405,000. And a last 30-day change of minus 2252. The Zillow's list price and price range are below the assessed value dated 9/8/2023. The four comparable properties have all sold within the last 7 months. The sold range is from $275,000 to $355,100 and is also the assessed value. Comparable D is too recent of a sale to be posted for these reasons, I believe the fair market value should be $382,100. Thank you for your consideration. And I see they provided four comparable sales, all of which are in 2023. Okay. With that, let's hear from the assessor.
The assessor's determination of value is $421,360 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. We were unable to use the appellant's comps due to the sales occurring after the effective date. And additionally, all four comparables that the appellant provided are one stories that do not have basements. Just to note there. All the comparables that the assessor's office provided are rambers with basements that are in similar age and size to the subject. And looking at the estimated range, the subject's assessed value is falling within that range.
Okay, so these are all 2022. These are all 2022 sales, I take it.
The comparable number 4 is a 2021 sale.
Okay.
So can I ask a question just in the process? Yes. So I assume that, you know, after the appellant submitted their petition and then the assessor's office sent them back the package that we have, so they got a chance to see your feedback. Do you think it was... You know, we understand that, you know, it wasn't clear to them in the beginning that they couldn't use 2023 sales. But when you sent them back, do you think that they understood that they could, or maybe they can't, update their petition using 2022 sales instead of the inappropriate 2023?
We even take it a step further. And when we receive a copy of the petition from the Board of Equalization, we reach out to them at that point before we even give them the same paperwork that you guys get. So that's kind of a flag to us to try and call them or email them. here's, do you want the data? Here's what we used. And so we start that dialogue even earlier than that. And it will typically get brought up at that point. Hey, you know, we wouldn't have used 23 sales because the effective date. So here's some 22 sales. And, you know, not knowing the specifics with this appellant specifically, but sometimes it just happens that they go, oh, okay. And then, you know, we never hear from them again. They don't ever necessarily withdraw or stipulate or anything like that. And sometimes they just think it's over and done with, and then we don't see or hear from them again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate that, you know, that we do give them a second opportunity if they missed it, didn't understand Absolutely. The instructions in the first place. So that's good. Thank you.
Just for the board's peace of mind, could you run a couple of their sales that they listed just and make appropriate adjustments to give us some sense that they're in line, you know, even with the age adjustment back to 1/1/23, to give us some sense that their sales are aligned with these sales.
Okay. Let me pull those up.
That'll just take a moment.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Well, you're pulling that up. I have a question, probably just a typo, but on page 2 of the assessor's package, it says under number 2 up at the top that it was assessed in 2026.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you guys are time travelers, huh?
Yeah.
Usually it's to the past, but apparently we can make exceptions for the future. Okay. No, that is just a typo. We apologize.
Okay. So it wasn't assessed at all?
No, they did have, according to their petition information, and let me pull that back up just to make sure I'm giving you the accurate info. UE protest.
Oh, it was 2016.
Yeah. So they did have, it looks like they had a refinance done back in 2016.
Okay.
We've been making that 2 for the third digit for the last 3-4 years at this point. Sometimes it slips up and catches us.
I do that when I write my first check for the year. So it's.
Yep.
Okay, I'm sharing my screen. So these are the 4 comparables that the appellant provided. These are all 1 stories. They're 1960s and 1970s builds. They are 2023 sales. Looks like they're coming in around the high 200s to the mid 350s for the most part.
Right. Can you scroll down just a little bit so we can see the?
Oh yeah, here you go.
Okay, so 369, 670, 90, 364, 120.
And just so it's clear, we don't, you know, this program doesn't do time adjustments, so.
Oh, okay.
So that's what, you know, that's kind of like live data right now. It's not based off of 2022, accounting for the difference in the market conditions.
Okay. Oh, D went up a lot, didn't it? Wow. I see your comps. Wait a minute, maybe not. These are all.
So did I read that right? It dropped a lot, right?
Which one?
Well, the grid total dropped from 421 to 367.
Yeah, the median is 367,100.
Right.
A range of 339,640 with a max of 406,590.
What was that median again? 367,100.
Down from 421,360.
No, down from 417,200.
Oh, okay. Still big.
Still, yeah, it is. See if pool. So 421,360. So you bracketed. I see there's two comps below and four comps above. No, three below and three above.
Could we see your screen again with their comps you listed?
Yes. Of the one that I generated for you?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is the range at the top, and then I can scroll down to the bottom if you want for the adjusted prices.
Okay.
I think all this tells us, though, is that the market was dropping in 23, and maybe even the last quarter, part of 22. But
oh, that's a 24 sale. Look at the fruit land.
Oh, yeah.
That's a 24. Oh, I wonder if that was a resale. Or she did say that one was a listing. That one's a listing. It was too recent for her to share that information or something. Okay. So it finally sold.
Go ahead and exclude that property then. Let's take that one out.
And isn't Fruitland way north of where we're looking?
Well, it's within
19th, 19th and Fruitland, and they're on 23rd and Kent. So 4 blocks maybe.
No, we're Fruitland. Isn't Fruitland way downtown Kennewick?
It is, but it also runs, I think it continues up into the Highlands area there. It's one street over from Garfield.
Oh, okay.
Is where that hill is. I used to do the Silbach Derby races on that hill.
Is that where that Christmas light community is?
Yeah, it's just off of Garfield. Yeah, Christmas tree lane. Yeah.
Okay.
And they all have those little placards they put up every year.
Yeah.
Little signs. Okay. $364,400. That's a lot of difference, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why it's more of a secondary consideration versus being a real driver on how we determine value anyway.
Right, understand. Yeah, we're just... So that last one... She sold a 9/27/23, and you showed a 24 date. But
that was probably the listing date we're thinking.
Yeah, because she said comparable D is too reason of a sale to be posted.
Okay.
I think it finally.
Yeah, because yeah, she did this back in September, October, I guess.
And not to speak to her thought process, but it's not uncommon for appellants or taxpayers to sometimes kind of muddy the waters between, well, a listing's not a sale, but you kind of use the vernacular to describe both.
So that comp 3, which was 331, came in at 339. Okay, so wait a minute. Let's see here. So conditions are all the same. Grid classes are different. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be smaller houses, it looks like, with no basements. Yeah. Those are all two-bedroom houses. I'm sure she's 33-bedroom.
Yeah, you'd really almost just have to consider her comps as different style of house with the basements in there.
And the bedroom number of bedrooms, too.
And the number of bedrooms, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Peter, Chuck, any questions at this point? I guess any questions, period.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on this one, but I'm good. I'm okay, I think.
Okay.
Is there some clarification we can help with, Peter? You know, more than happy to while you got us.
I'm just struggling with the apples and oranges of this different calculation. You know, should we consider any of this decrease in valuation?
You can't because it's after January 1st of 23. So I look at that and I go, we probably are going to, when we're analyzing this neighborhood, we're going to want to see what these 23 sales are doing, because it looks like they might be decreasing, but you know, three sales doesn't make a sample, but that's mm-hmm. kind of what it says to me at first blush.
Yeah. Timing's everything.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Peter, Chuck?
Nope.
Okay. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Thank you all for your time.
See you guys tomorrow.
Hey, everyone. Yep. Yep.
Peter, have a nice afternoon.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah. Don't get sunburned out there.